pastor gatherings that happen every month where the pastors get together and we pray for and with one another. We share ministry ideas. We come alongside one another with sometimes those difficult challenges. Part of my role is to help the local church to live out its mission effectively. So sometimes that means that I help them with a search process, something that means I bring mediators or peacemakers in to help when there's conflict that they can't overcome. Sometimes it's finding training for them to be more intentional with what God has called them to do. And so it's a joy and pleasure for me to do that. I've been in this role on my own now for 2.5 years. So I'm still learning a lot. And one of my greatest joys is when God answers a prayer concerning a senior pastor for a church. I've been involved in 20 search processes since I started my role. And it's been a lot, and I've seen God's faithfulness and how he has worked, and I'm looking forward to sharing a few things from God's words today to you and to all of us about how God has designed his church to function between leaders and congregation. Just a little bit about myself. I've been married for 35 years to my beautiful wife, Lisa, and we were told early on in our marriage that we wouldn't be able to conceive children. And so we started looking into adoption and so forth. And next thing you know, about 6 months after that diagnosis, my wife is super sick, can't figure out what's going on. And she was pregnant. And the doctor said, there's no human explanation for this. And we have 7 children. So I know that each one of my children, God has here for a very specific reason. And I remind them about that all the time because they're literally miracles. Maybe a little bit more about me too. I actually came to Christ through a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. I don't know how you're familiar with that. When I was in college, when I was 19 years old. And it's been an interesting journey that God has had me on ever since that time. And in the midst of that, I've had the joy of being called into pastoral ministry, like I said, for 31 years, and things were going really well, and the next thing you know, the president of the EFCA gave me a call and said that we have 17 districts or regions within the Free Church, and they said all 17 districts are going to change who their district superintendent is, and would you consider that, because I've been told about you that you're already kind of doing what a district superintendent does, which is again, to encourage pastors, train pastors, and come alongside. And so my wife and I prayed about it. My kids even were a part of that and said, Dad, you need to go and go do that. So that's why I'm here today. The Evangelical Free Church is an interesting association or denomination because it's not a top-down association or denomination. It's a bottom-up. Really, I have no authority in any church. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. Yet we choose to be together because that's what we see in Scripture, for us to work together in terms of missions and gospel and church planting, and that we need each other. And so it's a joy for me to be a part of what God is doing through the Evangelical Free Church. So I want to share with you all just a little bit from a passage. You'll see it on the screen. It's Hebrews chapter 13. And you can follow along in your own Bibles, but you'll see it on the screen as well. Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 8, and chapter 17. Now, we know, studying the Bible, that one of the most important Bible study methods that we use is that we understand context. Hebrews is what we would call kind of a bridge book, because it's bridging the reality of what the Old Testament was pointing to, of the Messiah who would come, all the prophecies that were fulfilled, all of the types and things that pointed to the Messiah coming, and then on the other side, celebrating the reality of Jesus' coming and what that means for the new covenant that we're a part of. And in that, you'll see all these descriptions of Jesus that are for us on this day to remember that he is supreme, that he is greater than Moses, that he is the great high priest. It is a description of Jesus that his sacrifice was a complete sacrifice on our behalf so that these imperfect, flawed people like all of us here could have hope. that we have a Savior who rescues us, and he works in and through us to accomplish his purposes, and we get to join him in his work, and we're called to walk by faith. And the most important thing about faith is the object of our faith. Who are we putting our trust in at any one moment in our lives? And so we have a passage like Hebrews 11 with all of these flawed, imperfect people who did not always trust God, but it says they were heroes of the faith because they trusted him. Even in their imperfections, because we have a Savior who forgives all of our sins, past, present, and future, and gives us hope that things can change when in the midst of this broken world that we're a part of. And so we look to Jesus, and then we get to this end of the section with all of these wonderful things that it's pointed to, and he mentions here something that we need to remember. And so it says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And aren't you glad that that's true? At this moment, with all of these kind of things, turmoil happening in the world, in the United States, another political season, and all the things that are a part of that, that we have something that's always sure and never changes. And then he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And so I want to remind you all of something. You've already started this journey with your calling of Pastor Scott to be your senior pastor and work alongside with the elders as one team. It's one of the again, tenets of the Evangelical Free Church is that there's equality among the elders, and pastor is seen as elder as well. He does not have any one more voice than any other voice, and they shepherd the church together. And so as we think about some of the things that were going on during that time when the book of Hebrews was written, it's very similar to our time right now. Some of the things that were happening in the culture at that time were aspects that there was a lot of persecution for being followers of Jesus. Now, we're not experiencing at the level that some people experience it. But the reality is it could be coming, and the scripture talks about before Jesus' return that that's going to be amped up. We can already see pieces of that going on in America in a way that we have not seen before. There's a reality of what I would just call what the current vernacular is cancel culture. They tried to cancel Jesus, and they were trying to cancel the church. And we see the same thing going on today, right? We shouldn't have an opportunity to speak or have a voice into things. You need to keep your religion separate from the rest of life, and that is so contrary to what Christianity is. And so they were persecuted for that as well. There was a lot of false teaching going on concerning Jesus himself, and that he was not the only way, that there were many ways to God, and do we not see that happening in our culture as well? And so in the midst of that, he reminds us of some things, this truth about Jesus, that he is not only the better way to live life, but he is the only way and the best way, and we are to hold fast to him in every part of our life, through all the changes, through all the up and downs. And so before us in these three verses is a description of the way that he desires for the church to function. But understand, that's in Hebrews 13. He's been speaking 1 through 12, laying the foundation. Because this will not work if the first part doesn't happen, the foundation of every person who's a part of the church, leaders and those who are members of the church, have submitted themselves to Jesus and his loving lordship in their lives. That he's the one that they're putting faith in and trust. And so as a result of that, their reality is God calls leaders into the church, and in that there is a description between how that relationship is to function. In verses 7 and 8, for example, we see this relationship described. It tells us to remember our leaders. It isn't like you don't know who your leaders are. So it's not, the word remember there isn't saying that. You know who you have called to be elders and Pastor Scott to be your senior pastor. You know who they are. What it's saying there is that as you think about them, the leaders that you have, again, given the privilege of shepherding and leading this congregation, there are some things that you need to consider in that. Because the Bible describes who a leader is and what their character is and what their conduct is. And we don't just put people in those positions. There's measuring sticks that God gives us about who they are, including when they fail. And when they fail you at times, they are to model what to do with that, which is repentance and faith and believing what Jesus has said about their sin and moving forward again and in life. And that is to be an example as well, because all of us in this room, just go ahead, look at the person on your left and right. They're going to fail. They're always not going to love you perfectly, intentionally or unintentionally. And so in the midst of that, he describes here that these are people who bring the word of God to you. They're helping you to apply it to your everyday life. You are to imitate their faith. Paul put it this way, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So leaders are not just given a blank thing, say, just follow me in whatever I do. Follow them as they are following Jesus. And imitate their faith in how they are living. And then we get to this verse 17 here where it says to obey your leaders and submit to them. If any of us are going to do that, it's going to be because we trust them, because they know us and we know them, that we're looking at their lives and they're saying, yeah, I want that for myself, what I see in their lives. Because the reality is, and if this does not humble you, Scott, I don't know what else can. And you'll feel your dependence as well as the other elders, but notice what it says. They keep watch over souls. It's a big calling. It's a dependent calling. It's a calling that's based on the reality of how you are submitting and following Jesus first. And the blessing that comes to people when that relationship happens and they come alongside you and shepherd you through all the challenges and transitions of life. The last church I served, it was amazing to me when I left. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do in terms of leaving that congregation and letting go for this new calling that God had for me to be in this role. And as I had conversations with different people about a lot of things over those 21 years, not one of them ever said, I remember that sermon you gave on September 17th. You know what they talked about? Walking with them through life. A birth, a death, a wedding, somebody overcoming addiction, testimonies of how we saw God work and lives change through the recovery ministry that we had that was a part of the church. We worked with the public schools in a ministry where we came alongside at-risk kids. Those are the things that people share, because that's what life is, right? It's the everyday ways in which we live out our relationship with Jesus. So here in this passage, the roles are kind of described here on how we are to live this out. You know, I was a coach, and until recently I had coached for 40 straight years, a variety of different sports. I came from a public school background. I coached about everything under the sun. Sports was always a big part of my life. And in that, the best teams that I ever coached were teams that clearly understood their role on the team. None was greater than the other. They all had a role. In living that out, then, as the church, as God has described us in our roles, brothers and sisters in Christ, leaders, congregation, as well as spiritual gifts and all those things, it's a wonderful thing. There's a wonderful unity in the body of Christ when we live that out. And so in the midst of that all, the role, again, of watching over souls, given an account, again, is this kind of calling in sober seriousness of what we're doing today is we're commissioning Pastor Scott as your senior pastor. And as I've had conversations with him about that, as I do with any other pastor that comes into our district, about the reality of keeping that in such a way that it doesn't overwhelm us, but understand whatever God has called us to, whatever that role is, he will provide. He is a gracious God. And we're flawed as leaders. And he is the one who overcomes those flaws. And it says here, people, as they live their lives, they are to obey and submit leaders who are obeying, submitting themselves to Christ. And so your role is you follow your leaders and how they're living their lives, that is an example to you to how you are. And if you're not sure about that, that's where discipleship comes in. And how do I love my spouse? Or how do I raise my family? Or how do I overcome addictions or things that are a part of my life or idolatry? Those leaders then come alongside and they teach, and by their very life and giving you application, help you to be able to do that. And so there's this balance here, what we call in the free church, between congregational rule, where the congregation makes the big decisions, and being elder-led, where you as a congregation give these responsibilities to what you want your elders and pastor to do to help you to follow Jesus. So as you agree upon that, there's a kind of a line, isn't there, between congregational rule and being elder-led, and some churches are more this way or that way, but you decide that together as you read Scripture and you understand your culture and how those needs are going to be met. But not only that, you'll see that there are benefits to living this out. Notice the benefit here of what happens in the design, that leaders experience joy instead of what? Groaning or grief or a heavy burden. I can tell you, being a pastor as long as I have, the times in which I've had great joy where we really were following Jesus together and we were trusting one another in that, and other times where congregational members made it very difficult for the elders to lead. And they questioned everything. Or they started to put their preferences ahead of the calling that God has and the grief and groaning that's a part of it. And so the reality in this is that we want our elders and our pastor to have joy in their work that God's called them to. This lofty calling, independent calling. And the benefit to the people of God is that we get a chance to experience the unity that we see described, that Jesus even describes in John 17, where he is praying for us, and he says that in the same way that the Father and Jesus are one, that we would be one with them, and that unity would lead to unity with one another. And what's the purpose, why that's important? So that the world would know that Jesus is sent. So there's a lot riding on this whole reality. So when the world sees the church, they see a church that's not divided and relationally divided, but they see a church that's unified around following Jesus and his mission in the world. That leads me to just the last thought I have before we're going to kind of go through a commissioning of question and answers of what we're committing to today here, the vows that we are making. And so it's the blessing that really is a part of our life. And Scott, one of the greatest blessings is the reality that you get to learn to depend on God at a level that you never thought you would have. To learn to love sacrificially as Jesus loves his church. And the privilege of that, and where it puts you in a place of feeling that dependency on God. It's a great thing. And the people that are blessed as they are not walking through this alone. That you're never alone in the body of Christ, but you have shepherds who are walking with you through those things that are a part of life, the good and the difficult times. You get to share those burdens with others instead of you internalizing it yourself. And there's, again, a lot we could say about that, a lot of other passages, but for all of us here to just understand today, that as we live out the roles and the way that God has described our relationship, there is just great blessing in that. So let me just give you some exhortations that I've been thinking about for you all this day. And if you could put that slide up, that would be great. Thank you. As your Ray Christian Fellowship continues to pursue its mission that God's called you to in this town, in this community, leaders, you need to give yourself to where the book of Acts starts. It says that they gave themselves to prayer first and the ministry of the word next. And that ministry of the word is lived out in many ways, counseling and preaching on Sunday and equipping teachers to teach and all that. But where do we start? We start with prayer. Never get away from that. Never allow the world to tell you that you need to run the church like a business. It's not a business. We are the body of Christ. And so you and the elders give yourself to prayer more than anything else that you do. Because God has done the one who does the work. Who are we, if any of us, to think I can change anybody? Can't. Second thing is for all of you to understand, your leaders at times will fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. So you need to trust him with the future and direction of Urey Christian Fellowship. You all were the first search training I did when I first started in this role. Do you remember that? Just raw as all get out. What do I say to encourage this group of people in the midst of it all? And I look today at this full sanctuary, and I'm amazed at what God has done in the short 2.5 years. And I'm so thankful for how you have responded, how you have chosen to submit yourselves to God, and the pruning that had to happen for you to be, again, a growing body who I know after having conversations is eyes on those, and I heard it today, on those who are not yet part of the church. Because that's why we exist. And so in that, I'm looking forward to seeing more and more what God is going to do. And then finally, just this reminder, Jesus will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against Urey Christian Fellowship. Amen. So look forward to the future with great expectation as you make disciples, followers of Jesus who can do that. It's the greatest calling of all of life. And so, Scott, if you would stand right up here with me, if you would. I'm going to ask you some affirmations of some things that, again, are important for you as you think about your role here. So, Pastor Scott, do you believe in your heart that you are called by God and his church to serve as pastor at Urey Christian Fellowship?
I do.
And do you believe the books of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and that it reveals the only way to salvation through the saving work of Jesus Christ, rejecting all teachings contrary to what the Word of God teaches?
I do.
And will you shepherd God's flock that is under your care? Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, encouraging the spiritual growth of Urey Christian Fellowship as you help lead this congregation along with other elders.
I will.
Urey Christian Fellowship, would you stand, please, as you commit yourself to some things as well this day? Urey Christian Fellowship, do you affirm Pastor Scott as your pastor and one of your elders? And will you pray for him, respect him, and support him as he follows Christ so that his ministry will be a joy and not a burden? Please. Elders, I want to invite you to come up now as we lay hands on him and commission him. I want each of you to say whatever's on your heart today over him, pray for him. So just place your hands there. And anyone can start.
Lord, I come to you today. We come to you today to give our love of this man, Scott. We've known him as a friend. We've known him as a very loyal friend. And I've seen his servanthood. I've seen his love for the children, his love for the adults. Nothing about this person has ever shied me away from wanting him as my pastor. And I support him 100% as one of the elders of this church. I love him.
Father God, we acknowledge that you alone are head of the church.
Amen.
And we give you thanks for Scott. We give you thanks that your Holy Spirit has spoken to him, and Lord, that he is your representative for us, Lord, that part of this leadership, Lord. We pray for him, Lord, and we pray for your protection.
Thank you, Lord, for making me a part of this leadership of this church, and it's for your glory. And Lord, I've loved this man ever since I first met him, and I know he's good for this church, and in this community, and we ask your blessing. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray for protection over these leaders that you have called in this role as elder and pastor. Pray for your protection over this church for such a time as this that you've called to intentionally follow you and bringing the gospel to every man, woman, and child that is in this community and beyond. Lord, we again submit ourselves to you completely. That submission is the greatest place to be because it's a release. It releases the burden off us. It's a recognition that you do the work in and through us, your church. And so we come to you today humbly and saying, God, protect us from the evil one and his devices to try to kill, steal, and destroy and divide us. Divide us from our relationship with you. And Lord, as we go forward, we know that the weapons that you have given us, and one of those weapons is prayer, will defeat the enemy every time. And we're so glad for that and the confidence that we have. And so, God, thank you again for your faithfulness to this congregation, and we look forward to seeing what you do as this congregation continues to, again, join you in your work. And we pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to just kind of give Scott an opportunity to share what's on his heart. This is not a second sermon, part two. But just to share your heart, brother. Yep.
I'm glad I'm not emotional about that. Spirit moving amongst
I once was lost in the darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would hold a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran, my health embraced, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld the glorious pain you suffered in my place. You bore the wrath you showed for me. Now all I know is grace. Alleluia. All I have is Christ. Alleluia. Jesus is my life. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone, and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my wretched life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you. Alleluia, all I have is Christ. Alleluia, Jesus is my life. Alleluia, all I have is Christ. Alleluia, Jesus.
Oh, what a joy to be in your house this morning, God. Just bring us back next week again so that we can worship your name here as we do week by week. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.